CTV.
Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and thank you to Mike Price, a loyal viewer who suggested taking a little olive oil, right? Paul recommended that Timothy take a little wine for his stomach ailments. Mike Price recommends that Martin Zender take a little olive oil to lubricate the voice box. Some people call it the larynx. It's up to you. Personal preference there. Thank you, Mike. Let's see. Putting it to the test today. What is baptism? Why is baptism still insisted on by the Christian religion? Really, this is the only organization I know of that insists upon it. We're going to give a brief history of baptism, and then I will tell you exactly why baptism is still practiced today. Baptism is an identification with a person or a cause. For instance, in the Greek scriptures, we read of those who are baptized into John. What does that mean, baptized into John? It means there were people who were ceremoniously, this is important, baptism as exercised by human beings is completely ceremonial. It has no real practical effect. The water is not magical. It was a ceremony to identify you, and in this case, identified people with John's baptism. Even Jesus Christ came to be baptized in fulfillment of the law. It was a public recognition that I'm with him. I'm with John. John was doing the baptism. Later, Jesus Christ said, I will baptize you with fire and with water and with fire and with the Spirit. So this baptism identified people with Jesus Christ, and it wasn't water. It was a spiritual baptism. It was, because Jesus Christ never took anybody into the Jordan River and poured water over their heads. So either it's what you're identified with. You're identified with Christ, with Jesus Christ as he's walking the earth, having to do with his mission while he was on earth, that is identification with the kingdom, only now you've graduated from John to Jesus. Or there's another baptism, and in fact, the baptism I'm about to tell you about is the mother of all baptisms, and this is what baptism was ultimately picturing, just like the lambs and the goats ultimately pictured the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And once Jesus Christ has appeared, once Jesus Christ is on the scene, now there's no need for the sacrifice of bulls and goats, except in the thousand-year kingdom, when this will be done as a memorial to teach the nations about God. That's a whole other topic. I don't want to get off on that because I want this to be a short and concise video. Not sure how I'm doing on that point so far, but let's continue. The ultimate baptism is in Romans chapter 6. You will read there that we, members of the body of Christ, were baptized into his death. Whose death? Jesus Christ's death. You remember, baptism is coming under an association with someone, being tied to someone. You got water sprinkled over your head or dunked, whatever it was, it doesn't matter. I think it was pouring water over the head that was identifying you with John. He was doing the baptism. You're identifying him with John. Jesus Christ, the Spirit, comes on someone. For instance, the 12 or the 11 disciples in the upper room, they were baptized into Jesus Christ. Paul comes on the scene, and this is confusing to people. He is bringing some leftover Israel things. For instance, this was important to Paul's ministry. This is another topic. I don't want to get off on a sidetrack here too. There was some leftover Israel type things that Paul brought into the early parts of the body of Christ. For instance, people were still speaking in languages. Paul was doing miracles. He was still telling his fellow Jews that Jesus was the Messiah, proving that from the Hebrew scriptures. But as Paul's ministry goes on, these things fall away. Paul at one time said, I baptized a few people. I think the household of Crispus was one of the baptisms he did. And he later said, I'm glad I didn't baptize anymore, because that was another outward ceremonial thing that was indicative of the true baptism that Paul was going to be announcing. And he eventually got rid of that because it eventually became confusing to the true baptism. That's why Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize anybody else. Why would he say that if baptism is important today? It was barely important when Paul was walking the earth. But now that we know what baptism pictures, the ultimate is to be our association with Christ, baptized in his death. How does that happen? Yes, it's all identification with Christ. And God just says that it's so. That's why it is so. God says it's so. God says that we were baptized in his death. And that's it. That's our baptism. So when people ask me, Martin Zender, when were you baptized? I say I was baptized 2,000 years ago. What do you mean, Martin? And I point them to Romans 6, somewhere in verses 1 through 8, 1 through 10, somewhere around there, baptized into his death. That was my complete and your complete identification with Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful, transcendent truth. It has two sides to the coin. The one side is we're baptized into his death, also Romans chapter 6. But don't be too forlorn about that, because if we were baptized into his death, which we were, then we're also baptized into his life. Just as he carried us to the tomb, to death with him figuratively. I mean, we weren't all literally there being put in the tomb, obviously. This is something that in God's mind, God, this is why I said it's this easy. It's this easy. We're baptized into Christ's death as members of the body of Christ because God said we are. God said that he was seeing humanity. Yes, this is actually applies eventually to all humanity, but it's on all now. It's on all. It's for all. It's for all, but it's only on all those who are believing it. Why? Because God said so. Mommy, why do we have to go to bed at night? Because I said so. Martin, why are we baptized into Christ's death? Why are we associated with Jesus Christ in his death, in his entombment, and in his resurrection, and in his glory? Because God said so. That's what was happening on the cross. And Paul is telling us this because God gave that information to Paul by Holy Spirit, and Paul announced it. We were baptized into Christ's death. Paul, how do you know? Paul says, I can't make this up. And I, Martin Zender, am telling you today, I can't make this up. We're identified with Christ, which is a good thing. That means we're identified in his glory. And he's bringing many sons into glory. Why? Because of baptism. But it's so spiritual of a baptism. Paul says in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 4, there's one baptism. What is it? Is it water or is it spirit? It's a spirit baptism. But it's even more than the baptism that Jesus talked about with his apostles, because that baptism identified that spiritual, even though it's a spiritual baptism, identified people with, not with John, but with the circumcision message, which with the Abrahamic covenant. It was an identification, again, with Jesus Christ, the Jew who walked the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Our baptism is way higher. And for us, it's done. Even for Christianity, it's done. It should not be practiced today anywhere. It will be practiced again in the 1,000-year kingdom. Because Jesus said that the disciples, of course, are going to be raised from the dead. When he is with them, he says, lo, I am with you to the conclusion of the eon. That's the coming eon, because he's not with them now. And at that time, the Israelites, namely the 12 apostles, will be baptizing all the nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But that hasn't happened yet, because Jesus has not returned yet to establish the kingdom, to raise the disciples. He told them this at the end of Matthew 28. Go, disciple all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This never happened in the book of Acts. Christians today tried to reproduce it, but they can't. And so this is not the era for any baptism, except the baptism into Christ's death, which has nothing to do with water. You don't have to dry off after it. You don't need a towel. You don't need a ceremony. You don't need a special robe. So if none of this stuff is applicable today, if it's on hold for the kingdom eon, that is the actual water baptism, if that's how they're going to do it. I don't know how they're going to do it in the kingdom. And if for members of the body of Christ, it's a uber spiritual baptism that happened 2,000 years ago, then why are so many Christians and churches baptizing people? Why? This is why. Christianity is a cult. In my book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, I give 19 points, 19 identification factors of a cult, written by a man who's a Christian himself. I can talk about this more later. But Christianity is not a true faith. It's an anti-Christ faith, if you want to put it that way. It's inspired by demonic spirits wanting to keep people from understanding the depth and the height and the breadth of what Jesus Christ accomplished at the cross. What better way to do that than to make people think they're coming to understand these things? But in fact, they're chasing their own personal fantasies. And they're chasing their own personal doctrines, doctrines of demons, free will, eternal torment, the immortality of the soul, all doctrines of demons that lead people away from the truth. This is Satan's technique, as you know, leading people away from the truth. How? By imitating the truth. That's the best way, because everybody who's buying into the deception is convinced that he or she is observing the truth. But in order to get people to do this, Satan knows he has to systematize the deception. Ephesians chapter 6, the systematizing of the deception. Part of that systematizing is to have a ritual. People love rituals. Human beings love rituals. Satan knows this. Human beings love to put on robes. They love to go into rivers. They love to have their friends invited to watch this miracle, special, magical thing happening called baptism. It is all a farce. It is all a slap in the face to what true baptism is. It is a bunch of people reveling in their power to impose something on someone. Just like a minister says, by the power vested in me, I now pronounce you. What power? No, the power of the state? What does the state have to do with a marriage? Get off the stage, you freaking imposter. Likewise, those who are baptizing today, get off the stage, you freaking imposters, because you are leading thousands, thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people astray into thinking that you putting water on them means a damn thing. It only means one thing, is that this is a ceremony. It is an indoctrination into a cult. It is a visible indoctrination into the cult of Christianity. People are baptizing their children. What's that all about? That's not even a scriptural doctrine. Nobody even did that in the past. So that's completely made up, because they need to get you into the cult early before you can start thinking for yourself. It's all cult activity. It's all a ceremony based on the need of humanity to want to enter something, to want to do something, to want to appoint people as having power over them. It's all demonic activity to bring people into a demonic organization.